This is a Collecting Light Web Extra from Arizona Public Media.
We're talking today with Arjun Day, an astronomer at the National Optical Astronomy Observatory. What brought you to the field of astronomy?
Oh, I've had a childhood interest in astronomy. I grew up being fascinated by pictures of galaxies and nebulae and built little telescopes when I was a child. And so it's been since eighth grade, I would say, a long-standing interest.
So were you one of those stargazing kids that basically followed it through for an entire career now?
Absolutely.
You have the same sense of wonder today that you did when you were 8 years old?
Absolutely. In fact, I was just showing our daughter Jupiter through a little 2-inch telescope yesterday, and we could see the bands, and it was brought back memories.
Now, you're part of a new sky mapping project called Big Boss. Can you tell us more about that?
Right. So Big Boss is actually a revolutionary project. What it basically aims to do is map a huge portion of the universe as we know it today using the Kitt Peak 4-meter telescope, the Mayall telescope. The basic project is to build for that telescope a wide field spectrograph. So it'll, at a given observation, will be able to obtain redshifts, measurements of distance, to 5,000 galaxies all at once over a 3-degree field of view. So it's really an unprecedented capability that for U.S. astronomy, and it's built primarily for the purpose of mapping. So what the project aims to do is to create a map out to a redshift of around 1, i.e. when the universe was about 8 billion years old, off about a quarter of the sky. So it's sort of a three-dimensional movie, if you will, of how the universe has evolved since about 8 billion years ago all the way down to the present time. And the main goal of doing that is that we're trying to understand what the universe is actually made out of. As you've probably heard, 96% of the universe energy density does not include stuff we really understand very well. The atoms that make up you and me and the desk and the microphone and everything constitute about 4% of the total energy density of the universe. And the remaining 96% is distributed among something we call dark matter, which is about a remaining 26% or so, and the remainder 70% is stuff that we have absolutely no idea what it really is. We refer to it as dark energy, but it permeates the universe and seems to be working in a way that is opposite to the sense in which we understand how gravity works. Gravity tends to attract things and make things collapse. Dark energy seems to be something that makes the universe expand even faster than it should be.
Now, how will creating a more accurate, updated map of the universe allow you to see that large percent that we don't know yet?
So we won't be able to see the dark energy per se, but what we will be able to do is measure its effects on the expansion of the universe. So the idea is that in the very early days of the universe's formation, all the atoms and light was all in a plasma, and little ripples because of perturbation, because of gravity in the early universe, are like ripples on a pond. You can imagine them like ripples on a pond. If I drop a stone in, you see a series of ripples moving outwards, waves moving outwards. Imagine if I simply froze the pond at an instant when I had dropped a bunch of pebbles, and there'd be a bunch of ripples, and I just froze them. And I expanded the pond to be some gigantic size, which is effectively what happens to the universe during an inflationary phase, very early in its lifetime. And then I let things evolve as usual. Galaxies will tend to form in the denser parts of the pond, so where the waves are peaking, effectively. And they won't necessarily form in regions where, there isn't more material. And so it's not a very good analogy, but if you can imagine, galaxies form in regions where the density has been enhanced, and the imprint of this original set of little pebbles that I dropped in would be maintained in the galaxy distribution on the sky. And so in looking at the galaxy distributions today, we can see evidence of those original ripples, and the size scale over which they evolve allows us to measure essentially how the universe has expanded over time. And it's through measuring that rate of expansion over many, many, many different epochs, over many billion years in the history of the universe, allows us to constrain theories of how dark energy is affecting the universe. So that's what we're trying to measure with Big Boss. And by getting distances to 20 million galaxies and about 600,000 quasars, we'll be essentially mapping out the structure of the universe, where the material in the universe is, and how it has changed with time, and it'll allow us to constrain these theories of how the universe evolved.
So how much will the map change?
The way to think about it is that we really know very little about the universe, and we don't have a map like this, or anywhere, anything even close to it. What we've been doing over the last several decades with our powerful telescopes is mapping small regions of the sky, you know, with either pencil beams using our the very biggest telescopes, because they can only see a tiny, tiny piece of the sky at a given amount of time. So it's very painstaking to go and try and figure out where all the galaxies lie in a particular field. We're attempting to do that over, you know, a quarter of the sky, essentially. And that's unprecedented. So the a recent experiment that was extremely successful and sort of has really helped advance our understanding of the universe is the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. And they did something similar with a much smaller telescope. It's a 2.5-meter telescope. And they were able to map sort of the nearby universe. And so we have a fairly good understanding of how galaxies in the present day look and behave and how they have changed. What we don't understand very well is how they have changed over the last 8 billion years of their history. And all our knowledge of that has come from observing very small samples of galaxies, you know, at most a few hundreds or a few thousands. And here we're talking about changing that to essentially create a map that involves 20 million points on this surface of the universe, essentially. So you'll be able to see how the structures have changed, how clusters have come together and formed. So it's very revolutionary in that sense, both in terms of making cosmological measurements, which have less to do with the galaxies themselves than with the nature of space-time, but also on how the galaxies themselves have changed and grown over time.
We're talking with Arjun Day, who's part of the Big Boss project for the National Optical Astronomy Observatory. The allegory I think of is 200 years ago in the world of cartography, there were large areas of the map that were unmapped. They were blank spots. In fact, used to put a saying in that areas, "Here be dragons." Do you think 10 years from now we'll have opened up a completely different window to the heavens with Big Boss?
Perhaps. The way to think about it is not that we don't, we haven't mapped it. It's like thinking about the oceans. You know, we know where all the water is, but trying to go down deeper and go further in the universe, in other words, you know, we know where all the nearby galaxies lie. We're trying to push much, much further into the universe, just look deeper and back, further back in time. That's probably the way to think about the cartography.
Cartography is just a snapshot of a relatively present time. We're dealing with astronomy, which is a snapshot of the past.
That's right. So, for example, the WMAP satellite provided this amazing map of the universe. It was a snapshot at the time that the atoms recombined. So, you know, protons and electrons formed hydrogen. Photons, light could then stream through, and all of a sudden the universe became transparent to light. That was a little moment in history, in the history of the universe, and the WMAP satellite provides a snapshot. And this, like you said, it's perhaps better to think of it as a movie of time, as the universe has evolved from that point to the present epoch. And that's what Big Boss will do. The Big Boss team, of which I'm a member, has a certain project it wants to do in order to understand the cosmological expansion of the universe. But the instrument itself for Kitt Peak is going to be a huge benefit for U.S. astronomy, simply because many, many users will come and be able to do their own experiments on instruments like this. When I did my thesis, you know, I had a sample of maybe 20 or 30 galaxies, and I went out and I got spectra of each one and measured their properties individually. And here in, you know, a few hours, you would have 10,000 objects all at once. So it's, in terms of a gold mine for astronomy, it's going to change our understanding of the astrophysics of the universe in a very fundamental way.
Now, Big Boss will be based at the Mayall Telescope on Kitt Peak, and I'm wondering what sort of upgrades will be happening to the Mayall to accommodate this new technology.
Well, the Mayall is an old telescope, but it was built like a battleship, and as a result, it can sustain a lot of weight on its top end, and this instrument is quite complicated and heavy. We'll be replacing, you've been up to Kitt Peak, I presume.
I didn't get into the Mayall, unfortunately. There was maintenance that night, so Elizabeth couldn't take me to the Mayall. I'd love to go back and see it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating telescope to look at it. It's just very impressive. We're going to be replacing the top ring of the telescope with a new ring that will hold this new instrument. And the idea is that we'll still be able to observe. The Mayall telescope has two foci. There's a big primary mirror, and the light comes down from the universe and bounces off the primary, and it's focused up near the top. We can either observe directly there, or we can put a second mirror called a secondary, which then shines the light back through a hole in the primary telescope. And we have other instruments that we use at the Cassegrain focus. So with Big Boss, we're really going to be upgrading the telescope itself in the sense we're going to replace the top end to hold this new instrument.
So there will be no imaging done with Big Boss?
Big Boss is primarily a spectrograph, okay. And so it won't really have any imaging capability per se. The instrument will then have fibers that come down the telescope and into a room where we'll have 10 spectrographs that actually do the measurements. And those are so we have to upgrade the rooms on the dome floor in order to do that. There are, you know, issues that have to do with the mechanical engineering of the telescope that we have to be careful about, and so on. This project is very parallel in a way to a project that we are just in the process of completing at the Blanco Telescope at Cerro Tololo. So as you know, NOAO runs Kitt Peak, but also Cerro Tololo, Inter-American Observatory. And the Blanco 4-meter telescope is sort of a southern twin of the Mayall 4-meter telescope. And Fermilab just led a project to build a very wide field imager for that telescope, an imaging camera for that telescope. It's called Dark Energy Camera. And it's going to be approaching this problem of how the universe expanded and using a slightly different technique, but very complementary to what Big Boss is going to do. And so if you can imagine it, you know, we have a telescope in the northern hemisphere and a telescope in the southern hemisphere, one with a very, you know, world power beating imager on the southern telescope and a world beating spectrograph on the northern telescope. Because of the way these telescopes have been designed, in the future, once these two projects have finished their primary missions in these hemispheres, we can swap them and do the entire sky. And the possibility of doing that will be just amazing for U.S. astronomy.
Arjun, my final question kind of goes back to one of the first ones I asked when you answered it by saying you were one of those kids that stared at the heavens growing up and you were looking at your being part of a plan here that would basically remap what we know to be out there. Does that play into that childhood dream that you followed through on?
Well, I think that there are many things that I've been able to do with the 4-meter and 8-meter and 10-meter telescopes that I have used that I could not have dreamed of seeing with my 9-inch reflector. and as a result, I think, you know, the universe is a big place and there's a lot we don't know about it. So the fun part about this job is that every time you go to a telescope, there's this incredible rush of discovering something new and seeing something, you know, learning something completely unforeseen. I mean, the discovery of dark energy is a good example. People began to study how supernovae exploded, and they started to think about using supernovae as distance measures. And they thought, you know, we understood the universe, we knew how it was expanding, and we were going to measure how the universal expansion was going to slow down. And a result of all of that effort was that we found that the universe was accelerating and not slowing down. And that has completely revolutionized physics in many ways. And so I suspect that, you know, perhaps the most exciting thing we will discover as a result of the Big Boss experiment will be something that we haven't yet dreamt of. And that would be very exciting.
Arjun Day is an astronomer at the National Optical Astronomy Observatory and is part of the Big Boss Project. I'm Mark Dugan, and this is Collecting Light, an exploration of Arizona astronomy from Arizona Public Media.